God has for you. All right. This morning is Pentecost Sunday. Woo! All right, half of you are like, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go yay and clap and make sure no one knows that I don't know what that means. So, all right, so we're going to go through this a little bit. We're going to dig into the Word today. We're going to figure out what Pentecost Sunday is all about. Sometimes we kind of have these preconceived ideas that people that come into the church that we know all these, you know, Bible words and different things and these stories and where things come from. And a lot of time we don't, especially if we're kind of new or maybe we didn't grow up in children's church where sometimes you didn't learn some of the stories in the Old Testament. So we're going to make some really, really neat discoveries this morning, and we're going to get into the Word today. So let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to open up your holy Bible. And Lord, as we read these words, that Lord, it is the breath of the living God that will be spoken out this morning. I thank you, Father God, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish everything that it is sent to do. And we receive it now by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so to kind of figure out what Pentecost is all about, we have to first look back to see what the Passover was about. And sometimes we know a little bit more of the Passover than we do the idea of Pentecost. So if you can remember the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, that's where it all starts. The Pharaoh was not letting the people go, and Moses would go in and say, let my people go, and he hardened his heart and said no, and then plagues came. Well, one of the last plagues that came was the plague of death, and it went through. Now, there was special instructions to the Israelites of preparing themselves, preparing their house, so that this death would pass over their house. And a couple of different things they had to do. They had to get a lamb, and they prepared that lamb that day before, that night before. They had a family meal, and they prepared the lamb in a way that Moses and God had told Moses to prepare the lamb. They also took that blood, and they put it on the doorpost of their house, representing, we know this is Jesus' blood over their house. And the death angel went through and passed over, and that's where we get the name Passover from. So the Passover feast was celebrated, so they started celebrating as a feast to remember this. To remember the day Israel was delivered out of Egypt, the day after the plague passed over the land. This feast is also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Something else they had to do is they had to prepare bread without leaven. And we know from the New Testament that leaven is associated with sin. So it was an outward sign to say we are getting sin out of our house. And for 6 days they did that, leaven out of their house for 7 days. So the feast was also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread because everyone was required to remove all leaven from their house for a full 7 days. So in Leviticus, the priests had sacrificed the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the month. So now as they're celebrating this as a feast and as a, we would say in the United States, as a holiday, they would do this at the 14th day of the month. The first day of Passover was the 15th, and the Feast of the First Fruits was celebrated on the third day. So we're going to come back around to that, so just remember that. Then Moses takes the people out of Egypt, and they are trying to go toward the promised land. And they stop at about 50 days after they leave Egypt, so about 50 days or 7 weeks, something else happens. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and the glory of God falls on the mountain, and to the children of Israel, it looks like fire has fallen on that mountain. Let's read that together. Let's go to Exodus 24. Kind of wanted to give a little bit of a background just so we can get into where we need to go. So let's go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24:16. The glory of the Lord. There we go. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. It's interesting, you read a little bit more of that story, and by the end of that 40 days, the Israelites had tried to say, where's Moses? Who is this Moses? And all of that, when they just saw the fire of God fall on the mountain where Moses was. But we don't want to go that far into the story. We want to kind of keep on track here. So the Old Testament is always a type and a shadow of what the New Testament has kind of revealed to us. The Old Testament is pointing toward Jesus, and in the New Testament, it is a revelation of Jesus. It is revealing Jesus to us. So I do like this. Like in the days of old, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, took our place on the cross. He took our sin. Now, one thing that we sometimes don't associate is when Jesus died that day, that was Passover that they were celebrating. They were celebrating Passover in Israel, in Jerusalem, when Jesus died on the cross for us. And I just love this correlation, as we know that how they prepared in the Old Testament there, how they would bring in the spotless lambs, you know, through one gate and one door of the city. Jesus was coming in at that time, and they were singing Hosanna, and they were waving palm branches, and the spotless lamb was coming through the other side. And we can see this, the day that Jesus died on the cross was the day, the same day that they were celebrating and preparing the lamb, that they did back in the days of old as Passover. The interesting thing is that third day when they celebrated the feast of the first fruits, remember that first day was the day right before Passover, and they went through, and that third day, the feast of the first fruits, it was interesting when I studied this. That is the day that Jesus rose again. That is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. So basically, this festival of the Passover, there's three major things that they celebrated, but on the third day, it was the feast of the first fruits. It's interesting that that's the same third day that Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. From since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And who are the men that he's talking about? He's going to explain it right here. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But even one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Hallelujah. So God gave his only son. Amen. God gave his only son. He planted a seed. He had to give so that he could reap a harvest of fruits. He gave his first fruit, Jesus, his son, for us. Amen. Glory to God. All right, now let's fast forward a little bit. Okay, so we got a little bit of background of what Passover and kind of, but I thought we were talking about Pentecost. What about Pentecost? What's happening with the Pentecost? 50 days after the Passover takes place and after the Feast of the First Fruits and everything, 50 days later, they celebrate Pentecost. That's when the fire fell on the mountain with Moses, and they celebrate that. So hallelujah. Okay, let's go over. Jesus tries to start explaining some things to his disciples. And it's really fun to kind of look through the scriptures and kind of see the disciples' reactions to some of these things. But let's go over to John 14, 25. We see these correlations, we see these connections, we see these types and shadows in the Old Testament and the New Testament with the glory of God, with the fire falling. And Jesus starts to talk to the disciples about him leaving and returning to God. But John 14, 25, and I am reading out of the Amplified on this one. All right. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Comforter, in the Amplified it says, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. When Pastor Ricky was reading the scripture last Sunday, it's like he could have just read that over and over again. There was anointing on that scripture. I did look up a couple of things here. I looked up Comforter, someone that comforts. Counselor, gives advice. Helper, gives assistance in time of need or emergency. Intercessor, a person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially by prayer. Advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, especially one who pleads the cause of another before a tribunal, judicial court, or in public. Strengthener, gives strength, a standby, one to be relied on, especially in emergencies. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if we can remember those things as we kind of say the name, the Holy Spirit, as we think of the Comforter. In verse 26, but the Comforter, and this is Jesus talking here, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, will teach you all things. Will teach you all things. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. He's also our teacher. He teaches us all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. He's trying to tell the disciples, there's someone else coming. Let's go down to John 15. And as I was studying this in John, I was looking through these. Back then, they didn't have chapter and verse. This is still a continuing conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. So he starts talking about this comforter again to his disciples. John 15, 26. Oh, is that the same one I'm... Oh, okay. Let's go down to John 16. Sorry, John 16, 5. Hallelujah. It's good to get into the Word. It's good to look at these scriptures, to read them, to study them together. John 16, 5. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. So he's calling the Holy Spirit the Helper. The Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. That's another thing that the Holy Spirit does. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How many has had that happen even in your own household where your kids ask why? You tell them to go do something and they ask why, and they're like, just go do it because it's really long to explain and you're not going to understand it anyway, so just go do what I said, please. That's kind of, yeah, we have hands over here. That's what he's saying to the disciples. You're not there yet. I can't explain these things to you yet. It's too hard for them to understand. It wasn't time for them to, those things to be revealed to them, to have that full understanding of things. So verse 12, I still have many things to say to you. So God, Jesus, is still saying many things to us. Amen? But he said, you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, another name of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, has come. When the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will lead and guide you into truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He's there to kind of show you, hey, this is going to happen. Watch this over here because that pipe's going to break over there. He's going to help you in those things. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He will show us things to come. Amen? All right, let's go down to Luke 24. I wanted to kind of come in at this direction. This is Jesus before he's ascending. Luke 24:48. And this is New King James Version. Oh, perfect. Okay. So Luke 24:48. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise. And I like that word promise because it is capitalized. So that means it's a name. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, who do you think the promise is? He just talked to his disciples about it, the Holy Spirit. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So he's telling his disciples there's going to be something else happening. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hallelujah, great joy. So now we're going to go into Acts. So we're following these steps of what's happening through the Bible and what Jesus is telling them. Now he's ascended up to heaven, and the disciples were told to go and wait for this power from on high. And let's go into Acts 1:4, and I know we're really studying the Bible, really getting in there. This is good. We're reading through some scriptures. We're figuring some stuff out together. Amen? Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to part from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. There it is again. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we see there's two different types of baptism that he's talking about. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? At this time, they're still thinking that God's going to physically restore the kingdom. Jesus did it spiritually. Amen. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's for us today also. And you, Spirit Life Church, and you shall receive power. when the Holy Ghost comes on you here at Spirit Life Church. And you shall be my witnesses to Bullhead City, to the tri-state area, to Arizona, amen, to the United States, glory to God, to the ends of the earth. That's us. That's what we are doing. That is what we have. We have the power from the Holy Spirit that has come on us, glory to God. Let's go down to verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood before them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He is coming again. Glory, glory. Let's get into Acts 2. Now, as we discussed before, there was the Passover. Jesus was crucified. 3 days, he rose from the grave at the Feast of the First Fruits. Now, 50 days later, what's happening? What is being celebrated? Pentecost. The fire falling on Mount Sinai. They were celebrating and remembering Moses going up, and they see the glory and the fire of God that fell on that mountain. Hallelujah. Now they're up in the upper room. There was 500 that were supposed to be there, but only 150 got to the party. But know what? You guys are here this morning. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. We have Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Woo! Hallelujah. As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Can we say the word all? All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to go through here. So there started a commotion, started happening there in Jerusalem. So in verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, right? They're having a festival. They're having a holiday. They're having a celebration there in that city. There dwelled in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, so not only did the believers hear the sound, other people heard the sound. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. And when they were all amazed, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are these not all who speak Galileans? And who is it that hear each in their own language in which we were born? And they go through the different places that people were from. Let's go down to verse 10, and they're still saying these names of the different places. Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Verse 11, Cretans, and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. The wonderful works of God. When I was young, I was in and learning about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and different things. I was kind of confused because my mind couldn't understand it. It was coming from the Spirit, but I would ask questions. Well, what if I'm speaking bad things? What if I'm speaking like horrible things and I don't know it? That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, who is part of the triune God, cannot speak those kind of things. Can't even go that direction. And we see right here that it was their own tongue, the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And one mocked and said, they're full of new wine. Let's go back down to verse 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised a voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it shall come to pass. And he starts quoting scripture. He starts quoting scripture, and it shall come to pass in the last days. What days are we in right now? Last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory to God. And we can do that this morning. We can call on the name of the Lord. If you have not called on that name before, let's do it today. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go down to Acts 2:37. We're going to skip down a little bit. Glory to God. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, after he was done speaking, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was conviction. There was something that went forth that people were begging, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I do like this, verse 41. When those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. I also wanted to say the Feast of Pentecost is associated with wheat. For them, back in the Old Testament, they actually had to go out and to get wheat so they could do an offering. And as we see this, we see that type and shadow as the glory and the fire fell, and then the wheat is brought into the temple. We know that wheat, and there is a harvest. And we know that Jesus... We know that lost people, that they are connected to the idea of wheat when Jesus talked about it in the New Testament. There's a connection there about bringing in the harvest. When we see the Holy Spirit fall, when we see the works of the Holy Spirit, it brings people to repentance and it brings in the harvest. Hallelujah. And we see that right here. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and bringing bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord added to the church daily. And the Lord added to the church daily. Daily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that here at Spirit Life Church, that you add to this church daily. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that a sound will go from this place. sound from this place that the spirit, that the ears of the lost will hear in the name of Jesus. That they will come running, that they will come running and saying, what must I do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it will be added daily to this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just had to pray that because that was oh, glory to God. That was from the Holy Spirit. I did want to say that we are in a time now, having went through the Passover this year in a very unusual way that the world has ever seen. And during the Passover in the Old Testament, Moses sent everyone to their house to have a meal together, to put the blood on the doorposts. And there was a plague that went through. It's very similar to what we did this last year, where we were quarantined. We were sent to our house. Hallelujah. There was a plague that went through. And now today, we are standing 50 days later. Whew. This is Pentecost Sunday. When the fire falls. Hallelujah. Can we turn off the Facebooks? We're going to turn off the Facebooks. We're going to do some praying.